You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we get the latest on information released by WikiLeaks, which has been making likely emails from a Clinton aide public over a week now. But first...
There's another whose warped looks proclaim what stone her heart is made of. Stop her! Ah! George! Ah! Corruption in the place! Thou false justicer! Why didst thou let her escape us from my wits?
Where is the patience now that you so often boasted to retain?
The little dogs, the law, Trey, Blanche, and sweetheart, look no barker.
Tom will throw his head at them. Afar you curse!
That's the voice of Ian McKellen as King Lear. Starting November 3rd, the Chazen Museum of Art in Madison will be host to a traveling exhibit featuring an original edition of Shakespeare's First Folio. Dating back to 1623, the First Folio is a collection of many of Shakespeare's plays that scholars cite as the most reliable version. Two of Shakespeare's most passionate devotees are back in Wisconsin to welcome the First Folio. Randall Duke Kim and Ann Ogiogrozo are two of the original three founders of American Players Theater in Spring Green. As for Kim and Ogiogrozo, they see Shakespeare as a common thread running through everything they do. The world premiere of their play, The Pleasure of His Company, our 40-year love affair with William Shakespeare, is coming to the Wisconsin Union Theater this Friday at 7 p.m. Randall Duke Kim is an actor of stage, television, and film. He's performed leading roles like Hamlet, Shylock, and King Lear at theater companies around the country. In film, he played the Keymaker in The Matrix Reloaded and the voice of Oogway in the Kung Fu Panda series. Randall, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. And also joining us, we have Ann Ogiogrozo, noted artistic director, theater director, and acting coach with special expertise in classical theater and the works of William Shakespeare. At American Players Theater, she directed 16 of Shakespeare's plays and acted in many of them as well. Ann, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Well, Randall, I want to start with you. You've said Shakespeare speaks directly to the human soul. Can you explain more about what you mean by that?
Well, I think he was not a university student, you know, and yet he wrote for the theater and wrote brilliantly. I think he had a common touch, and that common touch is what's kept him alive for so many years now. I think he could see what our human condition was like in very accurate terms. I remember when I was 18, I saw Morris Karnofsky do Shylock in The Merchant of Venice, and for the first time I saw an actor do a part in which he wasn't acting. What I saw was the character breathing, alive, blood, flesh, and going through his destiny. You know, I don't know. I thought to myself, well, this playwright is a great playwright. He manages to capture a human being in all his complexity, in all the torment and anguish of being a human being. I think there's been no other writer like him in the English language.
And Anne, I'm assuming you agree with most, if not all, of that. And I know that you, too, have spent your life living, as you put it, in the company of William Shakespeare. How do you think that doing that has shaped the person that you are today?
Well, I there's no doubt that I do agree with everything that Randy said. And every facet of my life is affected by those plays. The story that I always tell students and actors that I work with is that I lost my mom when she was rather young, only in her 70s. And it was a devastating loss because we were very close to her. But because I had walked through death with Shakespeare's characters so many times, in the most poetic terms, I was able to cope with that loss with great dignity. And found expressions like, from Pericles, heaven make a star of him. an ease to my aching heart. And so I would say that every time something happens in this world in which we live, there's always a play I can refer to and say, look, it's just like Hamlet, just like Lear, just like Romeo and Juliet. So it's every single day. It's been true from when I was a young girl right into my life today.
I think you said it, Annie. I think he gives comfort. He gives comfort. Unlike many writers, he really touches a soul that needs the comfort. And he certainly has touched my heart that way in moments of great stress and woe and anguish, just like you, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And
he always gives us a fair hearing. I think that's the other thing about Shakespeare. We don't give each other a fair hearing, but he does. He does not say life is this way or that way or give us hard and fast rules. He holds that mirror up to every human being that's in that audience so we can see our human nature, and he allows us to decide the effect it's going to have on us.
Yeah.
That's masterful.
I love Shakespeare, but Hamlet is one play I've seen a few times, and a few years ago, I kind of hit a wall with it, and I decided I didn't really need to see it ever again, I thought, because I kind of felt like I got it, and then I got lured in to see Benedict Cumberbatch, the actor who plays Sherlock in the BBC series. Anyway, he was playing Hamlet in the National Theatre live production, and they played it at a local movie theater, and it was sold out. Here's a little bit of a trailer for that showing.
What a piece of work is a man. How noble in reason. How infinite in faculty. In form and moving, how express and admirable. In action, how like an angel. In apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world. The paragon of animals, and yet to me, what is this quintessence of dust?
A bit of Benedict Cumberbatch playing Hamlet, and after I saw that performance, I realized that I was nowhere near the end of Hamlet, that there was so much more to learn. Randall, is that part of what you love about Shakespeare, that it seems almost like he's bottomless, like there's
Absolutely.
Always new things to discover?
Absolutely. And, you know, just in referring to the that speech, what a piece of work is man, in the folio, every one of those phrases, what a piece of work is man, has a question mark after that. How noble in reason, a question mark. You know, so they're not simple statements describing man. They're actually questions. What a piece of work is man? How noble in reason? How infinite in faculty? In form and moving, how express and admirable? They're questions, because his conclusion at the end of that, near the end of that speech is, and what is man to me? You know, it is just dust. Yes, Shakespeare is a bottomless well. The thing about Hamlet is that, yes, we get so tired of it. I mean, we've seen actors writhing on the floor and theatricalizing the role all the time. And yes, it's boring. It's bloody boring. You know, but to see an actor step into a man with a conscience. A prince who's been raised to rule with a conscience. And you sit there wondering as an audience member, my God, why don't our politicians behave like that? Why don't our politicians have consciences like that? They're so ready to go out and send our troops to war. But this prince would have very serious, you know, wrestling matches about that decision. He has a wrestling match about killing his own uncle. Of throwing the entire kingdom into chaos by doing such an act. And that's where his hesitations come from. He anguishes over such a terrible decision.
We're talking right now with Randall Duk Kim and Anne Okyo-Grozo. They are Shakespeare experts and actors and directors, and they are two of the three co-founders of American Players Theater in Spring Green, and they're bringing their new play, The Pleasure of His Company, our 40-year love affair with William Shakespeare, to Madison this Friday. And Anne, I want to ask you about that. How did that play come to be? What are you trying to get at there?
I'm sorry, the play?
Right, The Pleasure of His Company. Tell us about that.
Oh, The Pleasure of His Company. I was sort of lost in Hamlet. we were invited to be part of the celebration of the first folio being toured to Wisconsin. And because Randy and I worked directly from that script, we found it irresistible to, the Nazi part of it. We were asked if we would do a show that we had recently done, locally, and it was a show about classical actors, and it was a tribute to them. But we decided, because we hadn't been back to Wisconsin in 27 years, that we should devise a piece that was appropriate to Wisconsin, to Madison, to Spring Green, and to all of
I'm going to jump in. You're breaking up on us, your connection. So, Randall, do you want to pick up the thread there?
Well, I what Annie was saying was that we've tailored a previous show that we did here in New Jersey as a tribute to all the fine classical actors who have come before us. And what we did was to take a look at that script and say, I think we've got to rewrite large chunks of it so that it's appropriate for the audiences that we'll be playing to in Wisconsin on this one night, you know, to celebrate the folio and to reunite with old friends.
We'll continue our conversation with Randall Duk Kim and Ann Okyogrozo in just a moment. They are Shakespearean actors and experts. They founded American Players Theater in Spring Green with Charles Bright. And they're bringing this new play they're telling us about, The Pleasure of His Company, our 40-year love affair with William Shakespeare, to Madison this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Union Theater, the Memorial Union. And we want to hear from you. What does Shakespeare mean in your life? Do you think that the work of Shakespeare is still relevant today? Has it changed your life, like Randall and Anne were describing? And what is your favorite Shakespeare play and why? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're talking with Randall Duk Kim and Ann Okyogrozo. They spent their careers inspired by and performing the work of William Shakespeare's actors and directors, and they're two of the original three founders of American Players Theater in Spring Green. And they're with us now to talk about Shakespeare and also their new play, The Pleasure of His Company, our 40-year love affair with William Shakespeare. And we'd love to hear from you on this. Does Shakespeare matter to you? Do you think Shakespeare's still relevant in today's world? And if you have a favorite Shakespeare play, tell us what it is and why. Maybe you found comfort in a sonnet or a play of William Shakespeare. Let us know your story. 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And right now we'll pick up our conversation starting with Randall. I wonder if you could share one of the memories from the play. I know the play is a collection of memories, some scenes, and just reminiscences. What springs to mind for you?
Well, I had just mentioned Morris Karnofsky. You know, he was a wonderful old actor. He was with the group theater in the 30s, who tried to do something extraordinary in the American theater. But I saw him when I was 18 do Shylock. And that changed, that altered my life. I mean, I knew I was going into the theater, but the kind of acting he did on that stage and how he affected me, I mean, I've never seen a performance where the work was so brilliant that it stabbed me to the heart, that it harpooned my soul, that made me say, ah, that's a human being. That's not just an actor playing at it. It's a real human being. And I've tried to struggle with that kind of acting all of my life, because I don't believe the theater should be just there for titillation and for, you know, just a joke or just a diversion. I want it to mean something. And when you're dealing with great playwrights like Shakespeare or Sophocles or Ibsen or Chekhov or Molière, you want it to mean something, because what they had to say is so important to us as human beings.
And Anne, for you, is part of this, what Randall seems like is getting at there a little bit, is he can Shakespeare, the works of Shakespeare, sounds like, can make you question the way that you live your own life and maybe your own humanity, the decisions you make every day and shaping who you are. Do you see it that way, Anne?
I do see it that way. And again, you have someone like Shakespeare to help guide you. But, you know, it calls for a constant diet of it. I think earlier you were saying that you thought that maybe you had reached your end with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all audiences should get to see these plays over and over again. You know, Randy and I studied Hamlet 17 years before we did our production at APT. And today, 27 years after we left, we still wake up in the morning after reading something about Hamlet and saying, oh my God, this is what's happening. And then you look at that and you turn on the news and you realize that if everybody had access to these plays done by actors on the live stage, I am telling you, we would be able to meet life so much more heroically and graciously.
Randall, can you think of an example like that where you did maybe take a different course of action than you might have because you thought, you know, Hamlet set such a high bar maybe for morality that I want to live up to that?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, it does.
But, Randy, you should talk about that moment in Lear when he realizes, you know, where his wealth has led him, where his kingship has led him.
Yes. For example, in the storm scene in King Lear, there's one moment where the old king is left alone in the storm, and he suddenly realizes that he's not alone. He's been turned out by his two daughters, but he's not alone in this. And he addresses poor, naked wretches, your homeless people out there, also enduring the storm, that have no cover for their heads, they're ragged, their clothes are ragged, they are hungry, they're unfed, and the old king suddenly realizes, oh my God, I've taken too little care of this. And then he says, take medicine, pomp, or wealth, you know, you should feel what wretches feel. Then you can show the heavens more just by doing something about it. It's stuff like that we still need to hear. And particularly the wealthy in this world need to hear it. The great Stanislavski said the theater should be for the wealthy. They need to be reminded that there are poor people out there. There are people without their comforts, without their material necessities. And I think the theater should do that. It should remind us, should remind those who are comfortable, hey, things need to get done. There's too much suffering in the world still.
And I want to take a caller now. We've got Kimberly on the line with us in Superior. Kimberly, hi.
Hi there. What a great, great topic. I absolutely love Shakespeare, and I just had a quick little story to share with you. I discovered Shakespeare in high school in my English class. I think I was 15 years old, and we were reading Hamlet. And I believe, and I'm not sure if I'm quoting it directly, but there was a line in Hamlet from Hamlet's mother to him saying, "Thou hast cleft mine heart in twain." And our teacher explained that that was telling Hamlet that he was breaking her heart. And I just had never imagined that language could sound that way and that something so beautiful could mean something in our modern world. It sounded incredible to me, and I have loved Shakespeare ever since.
Oh, that's a great story, Kimberly. Thank you so much. Anne, what does that story make you think of?
Well, it makes me so thrilled because I think so many times we hear the comment that the language is too difficult. But, you know, once somebody she's 16 when she hears that line and says, gee, that's beautiful, and then finds out that it's a kind of feeling that she knows personally. I think it's wonderful.
And, Randall, you spent your whole career doing Shakespeare and a lot of other stuff. For instance, you play the Keymaker in The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah.
And that's a movie that was a big part of pop culture. It was pretty iconic there.
Yeah.
Was Shakespeare a part of how you played a role like that?
Oh, sure. He never is far away from me. He's always present with me. I mean, what attracted me to The Matrix story was the idea that the world is an illusion. It's an appearance. And that an illusion that we live in, and you know that Shakespeare has that notion too, you know, that a lot of times we walk around and we live our life seeming to be this or that, seeming. It's play acting almost. It's artificial. It's not real. It's not genuine. So Shakespeare is always with me in one way or another, and yes, it was a big pop culture favorite, but I found things in it that were also stimulating. Yeah.
And Anna,
you know what's so interesting too is that behind the scenes, while different scenes were being shot on The Matrix, I was sitting off stage, and Keanu Reeves would visit with me, and we would talk about Hamlet. So even actors in the films wanted to, you know, they knew of our background, and they wanted to know more about the plays. So it's not, they don't just turn off their desire to do the great masterpieces when they do film. That curiosity is there right there on the set with all of them.
Well, I want to thank you both so much. It's been wonderful to talk with you today.
Veronica, thank you
so much.
That was Randall Duk Kim and Ann Okeogrozo joining us there. They are nationally celebrated artists specializing in the works of Shakespeare, and they are co-founders, well, actually with Charles Bright of American Players Theater in Spring Green. They're bringing their new play, The Pleasure of His Company, our 40-year love affair with William Shakespeare, to the Wisconsin Union Theater in Madison this Friday at 7 o'clock. I'm Veronica Rickert. It's Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.